Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show. CJAD 800.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Just after 9 o'clock. 9:05 to be exact. Good morning, Walter.
Good morning.
Ça va bien, matin?
It's a beautiful, sunny, I mean, the sun, we don't see it often. So minus 20, I'll take it. Just give me sun.
Yeah, I'm still fascinated by this midweek weather forecast. Sunny and 11 on Tuesday. And then the following day, it's going to be raining and 11. And then we're going to plunge into minus 4 and some snow.
What I don't understand is yesterday we had plus 7, yeah. And then we went to minus 24. I mean, you can't even start a freezer that fast. Yeah. It doesn't make sense.
I know.
How do they do it?
It's magic. Yeah, Tuesday, sunny in 11, and Wednesday, rain in 11. So it's going to feel like spring, but two different types of spring days.
We'll take it. We've been spoiled this year. You can't complain, really.
I know. I saw my snow removal guy the other day when we had a bit of snow, and he was smiling. You know why? Because he hasn't been very busy this year.
He made a lot of money this year, that's for sure.
He gave me the big thumbs up when he was in my driveway. I said, oh, you're in a good mood. Can we go right to work?
Sure.
514-790-0800. We're going to start with Barbara in Montreal West. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning.
You're going to talk to Walter with some sump pump questions, right?
That's right.
Go ahead.
In case of a power failure and to avoid a flood in the basement, which is better, the operated sump pump or installing a generator? This is for up north, the house up north.
What do you mean the operating sump pump?
A battery operated. You know, there's a sump pump in the basement
that
works by electricity.
Yeah. So that's a good question. In any which case, just to simplify it for you, there should never be one pump in your pit. Minimum two, and sometimes in certain circumstances where you have a high water table and a very active pit, we put even three.
Oh la la.
Yes. So if you're living by a body of water and you have a very active, and you see that your pump is very active, usually you have two to three pumps in that pit. What I like about the battery-powered pump, that it does not only kick in when the power is out. It also kick in because it's triggered into, you have a floater that is set up higher than the original pump. So what happens is, it's plugged in 24/7.
Yes.
And as soon as your actual pump, A, fail, or is not supplying enough because of big torrential rainstorm or you know, something that's happening, then the other one will kick in. What I also like about it, if you get the smart one, they all have an alarm to them, so you will hear it if it goes on. But the smart ones will actually notify you. So if you're not home, it will tell you, look, your pump is working. And that signals for you a problem, either with a pump or a power failure. So that's one.
Are they all like that, the battery-operated ones?
They're not all smart, but they all have an alarm to them.
Okay.
So if I were you, I would buy the smart one where you download an app and it tells you when it kicks in and you get notified.
Okay.
So that's number one. Now, just to go back to your question about the generator. A generator is great if you have it on a source of power that is constant. Meaning, if you are going to fill it up in gas or diesel or whatever, it's not really a very practical thing to do if you're not home, if you're on vacation, or if it's a chalet that you go on only on weekends and what have you. So, because you, usually, like, if you fill it up, it's good for 8 to 12 hours, depending on how much you're consuming. And you're not going to go there every 8 to 12 hours and fill up the generator. The other problem is when you have a major blackout, gas stations run out of gas. You can't go and use gas stations. So it doesn't make sense to have that type of, you know, of fuel source when we know that, you know, we've seen that in ice storms that, you know,
the
lineups and the few of them that are open. So I don't really like that type of, I mean, this is great for a few hours here and there, but if you have an ice storm or a major occurrence, then they're really non-efficient, and we've seen it happen time and time again. So if you're going to install a generator, either have it linked into natural gas, which is an infinite supply of, if you have it in your area, of gas, or have it at least linked into propane tanks. Because a propane tank, usually what happens is you ask the supplier to have a sensor installed on it. And when it goes below a certain percentage, and you can set the percentage yourself, you can tell him 50%, 60%, 30%, it goes on automatic refill. Plus, it's good for about 24 hours each tank, if you are lighting up the whole house. So if you have two or three tanks, you have 3-4 days of supply, uninterrupted supply, beside the automatic refill that you're going to be on.
How's that, Barbara?
Okay, gone.
A lot to think about.
Yes.
All right, well, very good. Good luck with that. Stay warm.
Okay, thank you very much.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
911-514-790-0800. Off to Mario in St. Lambert on the South Shore. Mario, good morning.
Good morning.
You want to talk to Walter about replacing a window with French doors, right?
Correct.
Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call. Basically, as part of a renovation project, I'm replacing a window with a door. Once the opening is made, it'll be approximately 101 inches by 36. My window supplier told me that he cannot construct French doors with a regular aluminum frame. The minimum he can do is 63 inches, right?
Okay.
So can anybody make 36-inch French doors?
So the quick answer to you would be yes. And you're right about, different manufacturers, they have different thresholds for the sizes of their windows. So sometimes when the opening is way too big, we jump into a commercial entity or a window manufacturer that are used to do commercial jobs. Okay, so Alumilex, for example, is one of these companies. They do usually bigger openings. They do, window curtains, which means, the whole facade is made out of windows. So they're used to these types. Also, the higher ends usually have also, like, for example, I'm not sure, but Pella might have it. And ooh. Marvin, Pella.
How do you spell that?
P-E-L-L-A.
Yeah.
Oh, Pella.
Yeah. Sorry. Or Marvin. So what you do is you're better off don't ask them to send you a rep. Just tell them on the line, ask them on the line if they have those particular sizes. And it's not a big, huge dimension. So you should find lots of companies that would do that.
Right. It's only 36 inches. So it's like 15-inch doors.
Yeah, so I'm surprised actually they don't do that, but again it's a question of how, because you have it's very particular in Quebec with windows. Like, I mean, when we're doing the research, we realize that the vast majority of the mom pop stores they still have manual assembly operations, so the robotic welding part of it is extremely rare. If you're calling a mom-pop store type manufacturer, you might not get what you want. Not all of them are custom. A lot of them buy preset molds, if you wish. Mm. So it will pay off for you if you check with multiple manufacturers to get
right.
What you want.
My manufacturer, my window supplier, is one of the bigger ones in Quebec. And they, like I said, the smallest they can do is 63 inches, which is not practical for me because it's replacing the window with the door, right? I don't want to make a 63-inch opening.
No, I mean, I get it. I definitely get it. So you need to go to more customizable manufacturers.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of them. You just have to transition to the higher-end ones.
So that would be Pella, and what was the other one?
Well, there's Marvin, there's Pella, and sometimes you can even try with Alumilex. They might be able to assist you.
Pella, okay. Pella, Marvin, and Alumilex.
Yeah.
All right. Good.
Good luck with that, Mario.
Free advertising.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You might just need to tighten the thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Well, if you want to talk to Walter just like Mario and Barbara did a couple of minutes ago, call now, 514-790-0800. Walter from Renovco here for the full hour to answer your calls and questions and issues. Going to go to George in Park X. George, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Morning.
Good morning, Ken. Good morning, Walter. Morning. I have a problem with my asphalt. It is cracking. I've tried crack filler, and the cracks still keep on opening. How do I stop it? Is there any company who can do this type of work?
Okay. So
I don't know what else to say.
Okay. So that's a good question. Now, crack backfiller will work, or asphalt backfiller will work, if you don't have any broken asphalt. So if it's cracks and the asphalt itself is not broken, that will work. But the issue that you might have with an asphalt backfiller, it usually works for a season or two maximum. Okay? What you might want to transition to is to an asphalt sealer, okay, or an asphalt rubberized sealer, okay?
Okay.
That's what you need. A sealer would run you 5 to 8 years versus a backfiller 1 or 2 seasons. Mm. So we know that it works for a longer time. There are many different products. Sika does good sealers, if you want to try them.
Wait, what company is it?
Sika.
Sika.
S-I-K-A.
S-I-K-A, that, okay. Let me write it down.
Yeah, take your time. We're on the air, but take your time.
Do you have any the phone number for the
No, that you can buy. You can. It's called Sika. You can go to Home Depot, Rona, everywhere. It's called Sika Pro.
Right there on the shelf.
Asphalt sealant. Yeah. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. There's also the liquid rubber. If you want to go that's more like to restore the driveway. It's easy to apply usually, but. If the backfiller is not working, transition to the sealant. Like I said, it's usually a better thing. The only time this will not work is if you have, it's not cracks. The asphalt is broken up. And, you know, and you have to make that distinction. It's really, if you feel that the asphalt is moving, then for you, it's not a crack anymore. For you, you have to replace that asphalt, you know, in place. Okay? So what you could do is you could tap on the areas and see if there's any loose asphalt coming out.
Right.
Okay. Because the problem here with Park X is that the borough administration has passed laws restricting the use of asphalt. And that's what I'm trying to save it before it gets to... I don't see it breaking per se. It's just it has quite a few cracks in it, though.
So try what I gave you as a name, and let me know how it works.
Yeah.
And now is not a great time to do it, mind you. But and when you have cracks and you let it pass through a winter, usually what happens is it gets worse because all the water gets in and then it freezes and it expands and what have you. So you know, if you do have a nice day here or there, maybe you want to try it, but usually the spring would be the best time for you to try it.
There you go, George.
Ken, may I ask Walter, would it be better if I went with a company?
Before you go with a company, I would try that. I mean, I think you're a bit handy, so I think if you try that yourself, you will save a lot of money. The problem with companies is, you know, they don't like small jobs like that, and if they come, they want to try to sell you in your driveway, so... You know, try to see if it works. They're not going to do anything much different than what I'm just giving you right now to do as far as a fix. Okay?
Okay.
You call a company when you have to replace a section of asphalt or something is broken, but usually for this type of work, I would not even bother.
So I'll try Sika Pro. I'll go to Home Depot and see what they have.
Very good,
George.
There you go. Good luck with it. Let us know.
Thank you very much. I will.
You're welcome. Let's go to Anjou. Jay is still there.
Yeah, still here.
Yeah, we got about 4.5 minutes for Jay. Talk to me about the condo and what you want to do to the floor.
So the condo has carpet right now all over the floor, and I'd like to replace it with wood. So I was wondering which type of wood would be better in terms of durability, either standard or engineered wood, and also the cost that it would be for, like, replacing about 1,000 square feet.
Okay, so your condo building, is it made out of wood, the structure, or it's concrete?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm going to visit it today. I've only seen it on the internet, but I'm guessing either plywood or concrete.
Okay, I'm going to make it simpler for you. How many stories is your condo building?
I believe 15.
Okay, so it's 100% concrete.
Okay.
Which is going to help you make your decisions real quick.
All right.
There's many... steps to take before you make that decision. Number one, you have to speak to the condo board, because every condo board have preset standards. Number one, for the membranes. Number two, for the type of materials they allow.
Okay.
So when you have a concrete type building, if you want to go with hardwood, you have to install floating plywood before you install your hardwood, because the hardwood is nailed into the plywood. So that you have to factor in this case, the height factor, okay? Because that will add height to your existing floor. Right now, you probably have an underpad right on concrete and then a carpet. What you're going to do is you're going to replace that with a plywood, floating plywood, and then you're going to add at least 3/8 to half an inch, in certain cases, even 5/8 type of wood covering. So that's going to bring you about half an inch to 3/4 of an inch higher, which might cause for you a whole bunch of domino effect issues, including doors that you might have to cut, you know, and maybe transitions into in the bathrooms. You might end up getting higher and what have you. So you have to look at all of these things before you make your final decision. The most common type of installation in condos would be engineered, okay? And even more, it will be what you call a double glued engineered system, okay? So what they do is they'll take the membrane that the condo board is is asking for. It's not even a recommendation. If you put another type of membrane, they will literally ask you to take it out if it's not to the same standard or higher.
Don't get me started on the condo boards.
there you go. Okay, so that's number one. So you would buy that membrane, and then you will glue that to the concrete, and then from that you get the engineered floors, and you glue that on top of the membrane. It's one of the best types of installations for many reasons. Yeah. But one of the things that is more important is an engineered floor in condos is very well recommended because of the concrete aspect, which means you have a humid floor, and usually engineered works better with humidity. You add the membrane system, okay? You add the membrane system to it, the double glued membrane system. It makes it extremely stable. The only issue that you're going to have, if you ever have a water damage, it's hell to take out. You literally have to almost jackhammer it, because it come back in small pieces and what have you. But, I mean, that's only in a case where you would have a water damage, and hopefully that won't happen. But as far as longevity, as far as look, as far as if you want stability, you can't get any better.
There you go. Hey, Jay.
Perfect. And do you know, like, approximately the cost for 1,000 square feet?
Because you are on a double glued system, the installation is going to be expensive. So the installation aspect of it is going to be about $10 a square foot. Okay. Now, depending on the membrane, depending on what the condo is asking for a membrane, they ask usually for a higher quality membrane. It's anywhere between $1.50 to $3 a square foot just for the membrane. And then the floor starts from $6.50 all the way to $18 a square foot. So the spread is really up to you.
Mm.
Right. And would you suggest like a DIY project or like hiring?
Not a double glue system, never.
Okay.
Even if you take a wood installer that doesn't do double glue, It's a very messy job, by the way. Like, if you watch it on YouTube, just like Google that, and you'll see it's not an easy application. Right. If you haven't done it before, I would really recommend against it.
Don't go there, Jay.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks very much. It's 9:30 on the nose. That's Walter Assey from Renovco. Call now if you want to talk to him on the radio and ask away. 514-790-0800.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Just talking air travel with my travel agent, Walter Assey from Renovco. Jack of all trades. 936 514-790-0800. Second half hour here on the Home Improvement Show. You want to talk to Walter, call now. 514-790-0800. Can I throw a question at you from Rona on the text line?
Rona. Okay, Rona. That sounds very home improvement-y.
Yeah, absolutely. Rona, you have a home improvement-y name. Please ask Walter regarding battery-operated sump pumps. If we have a repeat of last April's rain and ice storm, when the ground is still frozen, where does the water go? Even if you have one, two, or three sump pumps, will the water still come into the house if it has nowhere to go? Also, does Walter know the cost of a battery-powered sump pump? That's from Rona.
Okay. And I'm hoping Rona is not the store. It's an actual person. Because if Rona is the store is asking that question, then we have problems.
That would be funny if an employee of Rona called in the question while someone waited in aisle 4. One moment. Let me call the Home Improvement Show. I'll be right with you.
So the quick answer for the ice storm, it proved to be not a great system, actually, in an ice storm situation, because we had many days of power outage.
Yeah.
These power pumps, they run anywhere between 8 to 24 hours. 8 hours to 24 hours, depending on how much you're using it in that time period.
Mm-hmm.
So to begin with, it's not really... It's good for the first day. But then the second day, you're on your own. So you better go and run and put a generator and recharge it or what have you. That's why we always say if you don't have a generator, and for the long-term cat modes or disasters, if you want to call them that, a battery-powered pump is only good for the first day. So it gives you that window to go and run and panic and, you know, try to go to Canadian Tire or this or that to grab a generator.
Buys you a bit of time, eh?
Yeah, it buys you a bit of time, but it's not really the solution. The second part of the question. So any pump that is installed have to work, the drainage aspect of it have to work 12 months a year. Especially now with the global warming, it's not a question about an ice storm only. We have 11 degrees on Wednesday and it's raining and the ground is frozen. So the sump pump will work. Now, the discharge usually is if you're doing it into a dry pit in the land, what have to happen is when you do that, the installation of the piping, you're obviously doing it on a slope. And you have to ensure that it's properly a graded slope. And what we like to do in the discharge, we like to do a dry pit. So you dig a hole and you fill it with gravel, and that's where your discharge of the pump will be.
Okay.
Because you're on a slope, the drain would not, quote-unquote, freeze, and it will always discharge on the other end. So where the discharge has to be a lower area of the land. So... that's, you know, there have to be some thinking put to that. But technically, you're not only using it when the ground is unfrozen. You're using it literally 24/7, and you have to plan for it 24/7. Now, in cases where you want to go above and beyond the call of duty and ensure that you're never going to have a problem with those drains freezing in the winter...
Mm-hmm.
You can add heated wires around those drains, and these are usually attached to a thermostat that as soon as we hit, let's say, 2 degrees, it turns on, and then you didn't hear it, but I actually flipped my thumb.
I heard this. This is next level stuff here, you're telling me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that will work until, you know, until the spring, and then you ensure that you don't have any issues then. But yeah, if you are having issues and it's actually freezing in the winter, you might really want to have to think about it, because you don't want things to back up. The pump would not be able to pump anything out, and it does work in the winter on several occasions.
514-790-0800. That's our number if you want to talk to Walter Assey from Renovco. 514-790-0800. From the text line again, Walter says, we have a patio door install scheduled for the spring with the warm weather ahead this week. Is it recommended to install in 10 degree weather? That's from Chuck in Beaconsfield.
Look, the installation itself is not an issue. It's the caulking.
Right.
Okay? So if you are, and you, there's different qualities of caulking. If you're going to install a door, you could install it in minus 10. It doesn't really matter. It's going to be cold in the house. But because the actual installation is really screws in a frame, so it's not really a big deal as far as the installation. Where it becomes tricky is if you have to apply a caulking, you want to ensure, number one, that the caulking is not left at the contractor's truck overnight. So it comes out, you know, already very cold and frozen. So, you know, maybe keep it in your home the day before, or his home. So it comes, the tube comes already warm. And to adequately, so you're going to have to apply a better quality caulking that can be applied during colder weather. But 10 degrees, usually 12 degrees is the ultimate. 10 degrees, you're getting very close to that if you just up the quality of the caulking that you're going
to
use.
You just reminded me, I had a flashback to a couple of years ago when I got a new patio door from Renovco, and Romy came over, I think, taking out the old one and putting in the new one. He did it under 30 minutes. The actual installation didn't take long at all.
I mean, but I mean, truth be told, Romy was born with a window in his mouth. Okay, so if you're going to use him at this threshold, you might be like disappointed. You're right.
Romy gives off this air of, I've got this.
I've got this. That's right. And like, all what he does is windows. You know, I like guys like that because, you know, they're very efficient when it comes to getting the job done, and they're very fast. But they make it also look easy, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, like you said, it's half an hour in and out. And you know, there's a lot of skill to it. It's not just like popping the window or the door in. It's, you know, you have to make sure it's square and level and shimmed and so on and so forth. Having said that, it's a great time to do it. I mean, we even do sometimes installations in the winter as far as we're concerned. But it's the caulking. Sometimes we do. You do the caulking, if you don't want to spend too much money, you know it's not going to work, so you have to revisit it again in the spring, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's a job out of the way.
Robert and Sado, now we're going to come to you, but right after the break, I don't want to interrupt your phone call with Walter. Walter, can you give me a minute? I'm not sure if you're comfortable about this, but someone wants thoughts on LePage windows.
I'm not comfortable commenting on different manufacturers, whether one way or the other. All I want to tell you is you do some research on many aspects of it. And one of the most important things is, do they do robotic welding or is it a manual assembly?
Robotic welding.
That's right. If it's manual assembly, I will think twice. In our weather, it might work in other weather, but in our weather. So that's one. Number two, are we Energy Starred?
Right.
If you don't have the homologation of the Energy Star, then you're not going to get any money back from the government. Okay? And then the Energy Star, you have to ask the question, depending on the type of window you use, you might have to transition from a double glaze to a triple glaze if you want the Energy Star rating. So that's another question you have to ask the manufacturer. I like manufacturers that offer double low E argon. Not everybody does it, but it gives you another R2 as far as insulation is concerned of your glass.
Okay.
So that's also important, and it acts it gives you the reverse effect in the summer, so it keeps the cool in the summer and it keeps the warm in the winter. So that's what you kind of want. That's non-negotiable as far as I'm concerned. And then you're going to look at their hardware to see if you have a double reinforcement on their hardware. Because that's where a lot of the windows fail, is in the actual mechanisms.
Right, yeah. So you have a bit of research to do, a little homework, right?
That's right.
All right. Yeah, and for all your heating and cooling needs, call Electrical Home Services. Hi, it's Ken. Going to jump in here for a second. You know, it's a perfect time of year to have them come over and take a look at your home's heating and cooling systems. Avoid the rush. Book them now for their world-class heating and cooling tune-up and save 15%. You can reach them anytime at 514-768-7778. If you're just not satisfied with your current service contract, or if you don't presently have one, ask them about their home protection plan. It'll help extend the life of your heating, cooling, and electrical systems and avoid a situation where you'll need major repairs. It's smart advice. It's great service. That's Electrica with a K.ca.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Robert, thank you for your patience. Out in St. Donat, do I have that right?
Yes, you do.
Very good. You're on with Walter. What would you like to ask him?
Okay, I'm looking for an alarm, that some pump alarm, not a sump pump alarm, but a water alarm for the basement that will phone my iPhone.
Okay.
And I've seen them in Home Depot and stuff, but they have so many different kinds. I'm wondering if you have one that you've tried and phoned true.
You know what? They all work what you want, but you do have some that will just trigger an alarm without giving you a notification. That's no good. Right. You're going to get the ones that are smart that you can link to your app, and then it will notify you if there's an issue.
Yeah.
But I mean, I really don't have one brand. They all work.
Okay.
What I would look into is... even if you go to Amazon, you'll have different ones. And what's interesting is sometimes you'll see a big spread in the pricing.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't necessarily need to pay the extra, because the technology is pretty much the same, really. It doesn't,
right.
You know. So I would not invest in the most expensive, if you wish, but make sure it's just a smart system. That's all I tell you. And strategically place it as well. So the placement of the puck is really more important than anything else. Because I've seen them being installed in wrong areas where the floor slopes the other way.
Oh,
and,
boy, yeah.
You know, and then, but they don't work. No, it's, you have to really study the slope of the land and put it somewhere very strategic. A very good system to do it in the, for example, it's those forgotten areas, if you wish, is under your humidifiers or in the basement or somewhere else, wherever you have a humidifier,
right.
Or, you know, the condenser for furnaces, anywhere that, you know, mechanicals could fail,
right.
Some pumps, yeah. Around toilets, around vanities, and what have you.
Potential danger zones.
Correct. Right? Yeah. The other thing, Robert, that I find interesting is some of the systems are even linked to a main shutoff system in the house. So if water is detected, it sends a signal to the main shutoff valve, and it shut off the water throughout the whole house. Now, that will be your ultimate system, because if you're on vacation, you're getting the alarm, but that's not going to get you very far, okay? So that's probably if you want to go with the ultimate solution. Now, the great thing with it as well is once you install all of that, you pick up the phone and you call your insurance company and you ask them to apply additional discount because you have that system.
There you go, yeah.
Cool.
Well, how's that, Robert?
Oh, it's very good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for the phone call. Let's go to Antonio. Pierrefonds, is it Antonio?
Yes, it was. Yes, it's me.
All right. Go ahead with your call.
Yeah, I was just wondering. I have a couple of questions. The first one, I don't know if you can take the second one. But anyways, the first one with regards to a generator, mm-hmm. Walter just mentioned, and I was aware of this, that they can be run on natural gas. I have natural gas in my house, but I was also surprised about the propane. Now, with propane, with the tanks, 1, 2, or 3, where do the propane tanks go? In the basement, outside, next to the generator? How does that work?
Usually they're outside, never inside. You want to put them outside. They,
right.
You know, strategically speaking, you want to be as close as possible to the foundation because you're running pipes, so you don't pay more money and... you excavate more, because you usually have to go 36 inches below below grade. So the placement of it becomes, number one, a cosmetic issue. You can't put them in the front, so the city won't allow you. So they have to be type kind of hidden, either on the side of the house or the back of the house. The proximity to the foundation is important for costing purposes only, meaning if you want to pay less on excavation and less on piping, you could choose somewhere that is fairly close to your foundation.
Oh, I see. Okay.
What you need to do for these is, I like, because I know a lot of people put cement tiles, I like to make a cement base. Because cement tiles go up and down and they move, and you really don't want to have a crooked propane tank installation. It's not safe. And make sure when you install it, if that's the route you're going, although in your case I might want to go with natural gas, it's way better. You will save up on the rental of the bonbon, of the propane tank. You will save up on the maintenance of the tank, because these guys expire. And you'll have an infinite supply, so you don't have to worry about getting a refill. So if I were you, I would go with the natural gas in your area. That's actually, you're lucky that you have it, because not everybody does.
Antonio, I have 90 seconds. You want to sneak in that question about the window?
Yeah, I was just wondering, yes, you mentioned that Renaco, actually you mentioned that you had a new patio door put in.
Yeah.
Does Renaco also do windows? I believe they do.
Oh, they do, yeah.
We have the isocermic line for sure.
Yeah, of course, that's what I need to know. Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Great, thank you so much. Appreciate your help. Have a good weekend.
Okay. You too, Antonio. You too. Thank you very much. Yes, I had, I think, four windows and a patio door, and very happy.
One window at a time.
One window. No, I think I did two at a time.
Two at a time?
Walter, thanks for a great hour.
Oh, always a pleasure.
Walter from Renovco.
And thank you for coming, Ken.
Oh, absolutely. I got here early. 9:57. Don't go anywhere. Lisa's going to continue answering your calls and texts on The Car Show. We've got Unwind with Mandy Robertson for the wine lovers. Everything Wine with Mandy at 11 o'clock. Jimmy, thank you very much. We're both back tomorrow morning, bright and early for you, at 6 o'clock here on Weekends with Ken. Don't go anywhere. News is standing by.